Lord Jesus, without you, we can do nothing. So I'm asking you now to bring forth your words so that people may be released into a new place of grace and understand what God is really able to do and capable of doing in spite of us. When I say in spite of us, I'm talking about me and you. I believe that there are times that our unbelief is so strong that we can actually cancel God's miracle. Okay? I was listening to a gentleman preaching about the Word this morning, and I shared this with one person, and recognizing that when we choose to focus only on the natural realm, we shortcut our future. We can actually cancel a victory by our unbelief. And so, I'd like you to see King David looking to obey God when there's a confrontation coming, and when we look at what God allows to take place so that we can see ourselves. There are times that God does things and He allows things to happen to us so that at some later point we get to see what was really happening. But at the time we're in the midst of the turmoil, we can't see and understand what He's really trying to do to us or form in us. So if you'll come with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this is the story of David and Goliath. And it's his history. And they had gathered their forces, and there was this incredible giant that was actually a champion. Verse 4. He was from Gath, and he came out of the Philistine camp, and he was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scaled armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. Okay? In case you wonder what that is, that's about 15 pounds. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath took and stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? I am not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me if he is able to fight and kill me. We will become your subjects, but if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." So he's looking to form a bunch of slaves to serve him. How many know that there's a lot of enemies out there that would like to make a slave out of you and me? How many have ever served on a slave machine? Okay? And I'm not talking about a small machine. I'm talking about big organizations. Okay? And sometimes family slavery. Okay? It's everywhere. But, verse 10. The Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man, or let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Saul, by the way, is the king. Now David was the son of the Ephratite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons. And in Saul's times, He was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's three oldest sons had followed Saul to war, so they were part of the machinery at the time. The firstborn was Eliab, and the second Abinadab, and the third Shema. David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And for 40 days the Philistines came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to the camp. Take along these 10 cheeses and the commander of their units. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elath, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left his flock with the shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp. As the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry, Israel and the Philistines were drawing up, their lines facing each other, and David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his line and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. And when the Israelites saw that the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Bob, would you turn on the backlights so they could see? Now the Israelites had been saying, verse 25, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage. Woo-hoo! And will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." Did you hear that? What benefits come with being able to stand with the king of Israel? David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who will kill this Philistine and remove this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would defy the armies of the living God?" If you haven't got a circle around that, I want you to put a circle there. So take your pencil, put a circle there, because you need to see what is going on. And the ability of King David to see in the realm of the Spirit, because he's listening, but he's also knowing what's really happening. Verse 27, "They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, 'This is what will be done for the man who kills him.' When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him." So family members can be against you with anger. "And asked, 'Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle.'" Ha, 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 ha. Are you watching what happens when the man of God is about to step forward and do what the lazy ones are not able to do and the fear-filled ones are not able to do? Okay, watch now. So who's getting all the blame? Poor little David. He hasn't done a thing wrong, except he's recognized that this is a war from the heavens. Verse 29. "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servants will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy." Speak that to your heart. Say, "At one time I was only a child. And sometimes I even think of myself as a child." Uh-huh. Are you a child of God? Did King David? No, he was a boy that belonged to God. Watch now. As he had been a fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servants have been keeping his father's sheep. He's talking about himself. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. Because he has defied the armies of the living God. You see it again, right? The Lord who delivered me from the paws of the lion and the paws of the bear will deliver me, not might, not hope, but will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. So the king takes confidence in this kid. Yet he's got a whole army out there and three of his brothers that are what? Full of fear. Watch. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff, which is the authority, in his hands, chose five smooth stones from the stream. Five is the number of grace. Put them on in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hands, approached the Philistines. Meanwhile, the Philistines, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Did you hear that? He cursed David by his God. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear, javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. Who are you serving? The God of the armies of Israel. Look at your neighbor. So you've got an army protecting you. And if somebody comes against you, the army is going to go to war on my behalf. That's serious business. But if your unbelief is parked on the side of the highway, what do you think you're going to get? A zero with a circle rubbed out. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, not next month, this day, the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down, cut off your head today. I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And this whole world will know, this whole world will know, have knowledge of, that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. How? Because of the unseen army. Because the natural army is what? Running in fear. Yes or no? Okay, what am I coming to? As the Philistines moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line. Did he run from him? No! He confronted. Reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. Face down. Boom! Okay? You didn't see that on the internet. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword, drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. Did he prophesy that he was going to do it? Who helped the stone hit the mark? The armies of the Lord. The angels of the Lord were in charge, weren't they? He was trusting the armies of the Most High God. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? If I fall into fear, what am I trusting in? My own abilities? How far am I going to go trusting in myself? I'm going to nosedive like the Philistine. He's proud. He's big. He's heavy. He's got all kinds of equipment. Are you catching on? What am I seeing? When you realize that Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14 are your truth, you're going to understand that the angels of God are His armies. They are sent forth to minister to those who are inheriting salvation. That is you, the Israel of God. You are born of His Spirit. You are the apple of His eye. He loves you. But what are you trusting in? Your own abilities, your own prayer life, your own holiness? I've got news for you. Without the armies backing you up, you're just another big mouth. And if you confess your fears, what's going to happen? You're going to lose it. Now, I believe his name is David Womack?
Andrew Womack.
Was preaching this morning. And by the way, this was my normal reading, which I happened to read just a few hours after, or within an hour of that time slot. Andrew was speaking about our unbelief and the sin of unbelief. And we're all guilty. So I'm trying to let you know, we all have a level of beliefs, and then it goes to, I wonder. Is really God on my side? Are His armies able to destroy the armies of the enemy? Are they able to do a job to keep me where I need to be? So he was sharing about some of his war with this unbelief. And he shared a dramatic story. And I was relating some of this with Marianne on the phone this morning because we were communicating. And it related to me over 20 years ago. Because I was also filled with unbelief. And a tormentor had come to torment me so that I would not be able to get what God had promised me. He talked about he was preaching in a church in the Midwest, and he had a word of knowledge, just like my sister had a word of knowledge about sinuses being healed tonight. Okay? Now, the word of knowledge went out that a person was in the church where he was preaching, and that they were so cross-eyed, and it was impossible for them to function as a normal human being. So someone had to help them out. Because of this problem of their eyes crossing. So he gave the word, and a young man came forward, and someone helped him to the front. And he laid hands on him, like it says in Mark chapter 16. And he declared what God had already said, that this man was receiving the fullness of his healing. And as he's praying, his mind is saying, well, you better warn him, because sometimes healing takes months. It could take weeks. It could take days. So he began, as soon as he lifted his hands, to declare this instruction. You know, remember, healing can take time. And he had a check in his spirit, you know, like a nudge. And he said to the young man, "Would you look at me, please?" And the young man turned and he looked at Andrew. And Andrew faced him face to face. He saw his eyes were perfect, absolutely perfect. And guess what came out of Andrew's mouth? "I can't believe it." And as he said, "I can't believe it," the two eyes went right back to where they were, totally crossed. He says, "I prayed, I repented, I laid hands again. Nothing was happening." Me, over 20 years ago, I'm down in South Carolina. I'm there for a week. A word of knowledge comes that someone with astigmatism was being healed tonight. If you will take faith and remove your glasses, God has delivered you. I'm not talking about Andrew now. I'm talking about Kim. Kim took his glasses off, put it in his pocket, and began to function absolutely normal. Went into my motel room, began to read my Bible, no problem. Could read anything, there was not a difficulty, absolutely perfect vision. The devil says, it's not going to last, because when you get up in the morning, you're going to be right back to where you knew. And guess what? I got up in the morning and put my glasses on. What do you think's happened?
I lost it.
Who was guilty? God of not healing me? Or me not believing that his ability was greater than mine? If you are guilty of unbelief, I want you to stand up right now. Put your Bibles down. Because if you don't confess it as sin, it'll never go forward from this level. Put your hand over your heart. Say, "Lord Jesus,
I heard the words
about King David's big brothers, and they were afraid. They were serving the spirit of fear.
And so have I in the past.
I break my covenant with the spirit of fear and unbelief, because the brothers had the same problem. King David did not have the problem. He had overcome. And he was able to declare, who is this man coming against the armies of the Most High God? Who are these that are coming to steal my gifts and my healings that have been given to me by the Most High God? Why can't I receive what others receive? What's wrong with God? Or what's wrong with me? It's unbelief tormenting me and stealing from me. It stops tonight. I confess my sin of unbelief. And I'm asking you now, Holy Spirit, counsel me with the Word of God. Speak to my heart. And counsel me to learn to believe for the fullness of God's gifts for me. Because I am His child. No different than King David. I am an overcomer. And I will not bow again to fear and unbelief. And if I do, I'll repent quickly. Change my heart, O God. Heal my heart, O God. So that I can receive every promise that has been given to me from the Most High. That's healing. That's deliverance.
That's deliverance.
From the top of my head,
to the very bottoms of my feet.
Thank you, Lord.
By your stripes,
I have been healed.
1 Peter 2.
1 Peter 2:24. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Look at your neighbor. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Look at another neighbor. By the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. With the stripes of Jesus, we were healed.
Amen.
All right. What happens? Is there a stirring going on inside? Yeah. There's a stirring, and it should be stirring. Because God has said, I'm here to heal you. But the unbelief comes to steal from you. Amen? So again, look at your neighbor. Say, I'm going to be praying for you this week. That you don't bow to unbelief again. And I'm standing with you. The armies of heaven are on your side. The armies of heaven are on my side. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Give my clap offering.